From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Zoe Gruskin with a statewide news update. Despite a large transfer to the state treasury, the Alaska Permanent Fund has grown by $1.4 billion. The Anchorage Daily News reported the fund earned enough from investments to grow 2% in the fiscal year that ended June 30th. Permanent Fund Corporation officials say the fund stood at $66.3 billion, up from $64.9 billion in 2018. Officials say the $2.7 billion transfer was divided in two parts. $1 billion was for last year's 1,600 resident dividend, and $1.7 billion went to state services. The Federal Bureau of Land Management is holding a series of public meetings on a number of different projects. Tonight will be the first meeting in Fairbanks to allow public testimony on a proposal to develop a section of the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska, or NPRA, for oil and gas. BLM is holding the meeting to gather public feedback on the proposal to open up the Beartooth unit of NPRA to oil and gas development. The meeting in Fairbanks is the first of six to be held throughout the state, including one in Anchorage and four on the North Slope. The meetings are being held as part of a process to develop a draft environmental impact statement for the so-called Willow Master Plan development. The EAS will analyze potential environmental impacts of the proposed project. It will also include measures to reduce the anticipated adverse effects of the development on wildlife, including threatened and endangered species. The document will also consider impacts on subsistence hunting and access to social and cultural resources. BLM announced Friday that the agency has extended the public comment period on the project by 2 weeks through October 29th. And beginning tomorrow in Anchorage, the BLM is holding a series of public hearings on the proposed Ambler Road project. BLM released their draft environmental impact statement for that project last week. The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority is proposing the construction of a 211-mile road that would provide access to the Ambler Mining District. The road would start at the Dalton Highway near Prospect Creek and end at the Ambler Mining District. It's estimated the road would cost $280 million, and it would cross through the gates of the Arctic National Park. Environmental groups have expressed concern over the impact that construction would have on both subsistence and air quality in the communities along the proposed road. Mining advocates have highlighted the high-paying jobs that construction would bring to the areas. First public hearing will be held Tuesday, tomorrow, in Anchorage. The final hearing will be held in Buckland in a month. Adventurous hunters in southeast Alaska are anticipating the start of moose season this month. Some will nab their prized bull, others won't. A little over 8% of the moose killed in this area each year don't meet the state's strict requirements for antler size or configuration. Wildlife troopers and communities throughout Alaska obtain these illegal moose to feed those who aren't able to hunt. As KSTK's June Leffler reports, sportsmen and charities in Wrangell are teaming up to improve on that process.
At a meeting of the local Fish and Game Advisory Council, a group was selected to streamline a certain protocol, how to take moose confiscated by local wildlife troopers and distribute that meat to needy folks in town.
It's probably the best thing I've heard all week.
Mike Bates runs the local Salvation Army, which is known for its food bank. He'll serve on the Committee of Five.
It's exciting to see the community pulling together for other people, because there is people that have great need in the community.
Throughout the meeting, attendees said they wanted to, quote, feed the needy, not the greedy. But it's clear the needy include a myriad of different groups and individuals. There's already a process for this in place. It's essentially a list that the trooper goes to when a moose comes in. Chris Guggenbeckler chairs the local advisory council. He doesn't doubt that people on the list are deserving. He's questioning if the means of distribution can actually meet their needs.
I know there was people that had been on there for 10 years and then got a random call one day that there's a moose hanging at the hoist.
Guggenbeckler says very few people can process a moose on their own, especially some folks on the list, like elders.
They were certainly deserving, but the program wasn't working because of that reason.
So the advisory council and the Stikine Sportsmen, a guys-only fundraising group, took up the issue. Just this year, Wrangell got its own wildlife trooper, so he's helping out too. Folks won't randomly receive unprocessed moose anymore. Modeling the process on Petersburg's Burger Bank, it looks like this. When a hunter is charged with killing an illegal moose, the hunter agrees to pay $300 and forfeit the meat. That money will go to pay a local butcher to process the animal. What isn't in stone is who will actually get the roughly 500 pounds of meat a single moose renders. That's where the committee comes in. They'll most likely distribute that food to low-income families, seniors, and Alaska natives in the community. Last year, 11 illegal moose were confiscated in the Petersburg, Wrangell, and Cake area. The month-long season in the area starts September 15th. In Wrangell, I'm June Loeffler.
There's a new park in Petersburg. Cannery Park opened up without much fanfare at the end of August. It's located downtown and creates a place for visitors to learn about the town's rich history of seafood production, one that dates back over 100 years. KFSK's Angela Denning reports.
The new Cannery Park is located along the town's main downtown road. It's tucked between a grocery store, coffee shop, laundromat, and bank. And when it's raining out, like it is today, it's a good shelter. The park used to be an industrial corner lot owned by one of the local fish plants.
I thought it'd be great to have this here, kind of blocking our storage area.
Patrick Wilson is the manager of Petersburg Fisheries, which is a local branch of Icicle Seafoods. The park was his idea.
It's about the history of canning here in Petersburg, which we really didn't have much around here. The museum has some very nice displays, but this will get it out front in the public and tourists and give them a chance to walk around, not only to learn more about the town and the history, but also they could sit down on these nice benches and enjoy the afternoon.
Two benches sit back to back in the middle of the park, welded into shapes of metal fish and kelp. They were donated by two local families and created by local artist Joseph Quitzland. There are over a dozen local residents involved in the park project. That includes Petersburg Fisheries staff designing and building the covered shelter. The structure is made of large timber framing with a split-level roof.
It gives it the old cannery look with all these beams, rough-cut beams, and it's turned out very nice. It's unique. I think it looks good. We got the clear plastic on top, the roofing, so you get nice light through here.
But what is perhaps most striking are the informational boards that make up the walls. They take visitors on a journey through the history of local canneries.
It took months and months for me to research and get all this information together.
That's Karen Hofstad, a Petersburg resident and local historian. She donated money and time researching for the park. It was in line with her previous research work for a book she wrote about seafood canneries in Southeast Alaska. She was also instrumental in getting trash cans around Petersburg decorated with old seafood labels. Hofstad says she got involved with the park because of the cannery workers. The park is dedicated to them, both past and present.
You know, the fishermen are kind of the stars, but all the cannery workers, if we didn't have them, we couldn't can. We wouldn't have fishermen.
Wilson agrees.
They were pretty much the backbone of the industry here. Once the fish hit the shore, there's been a lot of recognition given to boats and fishermen and monuments and whatnot, but not much recognition to the people behind the scenes that do all the hard labor 7 days a week, 14, 16 hours a day, and sometimes more.
The canneries have brought many diverse cultures to Petersburg: Norwegians, Chinese, Filipinos, Hispanics, and Europeans, as well as local Alaska Natives.
It's a tough job. It's not a really pretty job at times, but we, as we talk right now, we got workers flaying salmon and processing salmon roe. And they'll be working until midnight tonight nearly. So, hard work.
The Cannery Park isn't complete just yet. High school art students have made tile mosaics for the concrete floor. Wilson says the park will also get more landscaping. They hope to have an official opening ceremony next summer. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And the Alaska Department of Commerce has said it does not support a regulation draft that would prohibit on-site activities at alcohol manufacturing businesses. The Daily News Miner in Fairbanks reported Friday that Department Commissioner Julie Anderson had harsh criticism and serious concerns that the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board's proposed changes are restrictive and do not support a business inclusion initiative. The board chair declined to comment. Anderson says there are plans to meet with and discuss the regulation draft with the control board, which falls under her department's umbrella. It's 69 degrees and mostly cloudy at the Juneau International Airport. That's the latest.